say Jesus. Welcome everybody to church. How are y'all doing today? Amen. I want to say hello to everybody watching online and in North County. And today I want to give a special shout out to all the police officers, firefighters, EMT. Let's give them a big hand for what they do for us. Amen. And let me encourage you this week, if you see firefighters, police officers, EMT, if you can go to them and just tell them thank you for what they do. They deal with a lot of stuff we don't that is way above our head to understand. And when you go to them, make sure your hands are visible. You don't want to be like, you know, walking up just because they deal with trouble every day. I go up to police officers all the time. And pretty much every time I see one that I can talk to, and I'll go up and say thank you. And you know, the first few times I noticed that they were kind of like, what's up? I'm good. I'm not going to get jailed. So anyway, God bless y'all. Are y'all ready? Okay, before I start, let me say this. 2 weeks ago, I challenged the men to pray for an hour a day. And I said next week, which was last week, I'm going to ask you to stand up and make a public confession, testimony, witness. I'm going to pray an hour a day just to kind of, you know, we're all going to be stand up about it. And last week, I did not do that, so I'm going to do it today. But I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to do it sometime before we leave. And if I forget, remind me, but I'm sure that God's going to remind me sometime. So I want you to be thinking about it, and when we do it, I'm going to have you all do it spontaneously, so it's not like, well, everybody else is doing it, I'm not going to do it, and every guy in the last service didn't do it. But I want you to be thinking about giving God that hour every day and letting God do something in your heart that only He can do. And so just be praying about that. I know some guys started and stopped. Some guys are doing it and they're on fire. I mean, I got guys tweet me. I don't know if y'all do Twitter. I tweet about it all the time. And guys whose lives are changing because it is life-changing. And so I just want you to be praying about that as we go through the service. And in a few minutes, sometime before we leave, I'm going to ask you to make that commitment. And we're just going to stand up and then we're going to pray for you. And hopefully God will do an amazing thing in your life. Amen? So let's all say a word of prayer real quick. Lord, thank you so much for being God. And God, I thank you that you know everybody here, and I thank you that you know all their cares, their worries. And I pray now that you would settle their heart and focus their mind and their heart on you. There's a lot of distractions going on in our life. I pray you would give us focus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for doing exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine and promising that to us if we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles today. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John 4. And as you turn to John chapter 4, the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I want to give a special shout out to all my peeps back in Liberty University. I spent the last 3 days there and loved those kids, faculty, all those people back there. It was a blessing being there. I was there for Spiritual Emphasis Week, spoke 4 times this week, so God bless y'all. And for all of you who don't know about Liberty University, they have 500 acres on their campus. They don't use it all, but they got 500 acres. They have 12,000 students on campus and 68,000 students online. It's the biggest Christian university in the world. Their chapel, 3 times a week, convocation, is 12,000 students in it. And it is unbelievable. So if you have any kids that are college bound, you need to check out Liberty University. They got Division I sports, not all the sports, but some of the sports are Division I. It's just amazing. So let's, John chapter 4. Are y'all ready? Look to the person next to you and say, I'm ready. How many of you all heard of the Mississippi River? Okay, very good. Mississippi River flows from Minnesota down to the Gulf of Mexico. Mississippi River is 2,345 miles or something like that. It starts out at 20 to 30 feet wide. At some points, it's 11 miles wide, 2 miles wide. It has tributaries or rivers or smaller streams that flow into it from 31 different states, over half the country. Flows into the Mississippi River, goes down to the Gulf of Mexico. And the two things that guide the Mississippi River where it goes are the banks on the left and the right. The two river banks guide and the flow of the water down to its destination. As we continue our series called Worship, everyone say worship.
Worship.
We're going to talk about two very important guiding principles in worship: spirit and truth. Everyone say spirit.
Spirit.
Say truth. Whenever you worship God, and last week we talked about worship being a response of respect at the revelation of God, you have to have spirit and truth. Now, as we go through this sermon, I want you to also notice the things you don't have to have. You don't have to have a bunch of people. You don't have to have a loud band. You don't have to have dim lights. You have to have spirit and truth. You also don't have to have the music you like. You have to have spirit and truth. Now, all those things will impact your worship at some point or another, and we'll get into that, but we need to focus on spirit and truth. Say it one more time. Say spirit.
Spirit.
Say truth.
Spirit.
So my prayer for you is that fountains of and rivers of living water would flow from your spirit up to God. That's worship. So in this story, Jesus is walking from Judea to Galilee, 70 miles, and he's going to walk through a place called Samaria. And the Samaritans and the Jews were at odds with each other, long history issue. There were a lot of foreigners imported to Samaria, northern Israel, or Israel in the north, and they had a different worship style and different worship guidelines. They worshiped in the north, didn't feel they had to come down to Jerusalem and worship. The Jews felt superior to the Samaritans. Men didn't talk to women in public, especially a rabbi, specifically rabbi. And so here Jesus is walking through with his disciples, and he gets tired, and he decides to sit at the well while his disciples go get some food. They went up to Vons and 7-Eleven to get some stuff, and he figured, I'm just going to hang out right here. I'm tired. And he's going to get in a conversation with this woman, and they're going to talk about water, living water, worship. And so we're going to get some insight about worship through this conversation. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 7. They've already met at the well, and the woman, verse 7. It says, the woman of Samaria came to draw water, and she said to Jesus, give me a drink. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink, which was odd, one, that he would be talking to her, and two, that a Jew would be helping, asking a Samaritan for help. They were above that. Samaritans were below them in their mind. Verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? The Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who is it that asked you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoa. So when Jesus said, give me a drink, he was just kind of, it was a conversation starter. I want to talk to you about living water. I mean, whether he was thirsty or not is beside the point. He was really saying, I want to talk to you about some spiritual things. We all have to learn to have good conversation starters with people when we want to witness to them or talk about spiritual things. We can't go up to someone and say, hey, how you doing? My name is so-and-so. You know you're going to go to hell if you don't have Jesus in your life. It's not a good conversation starter. And some of us are like that. You know, we want to shine our light on people, except the light is so blinding, they go running away from you. You got to kind of turn on a little fluorescent light, a little slow, and let it flick a little bit. And one of the ways to do that is go up to someone and say, you know, how can I help you? How can I serve you? And that conversation could go on for years before it progresses. It's okay. You don't have to lay the four laws on somebody day one, minute one. Jesus says, hey, there's living water. And what he was saying to her is that, girlfriend, you have a thirst that water in the well will not satisfy. We all have a thirst that things of the world won't satisfy. We've experienced that. Let's keep reading. Look what it says in verse 13. Jesus said, I'm sorry, verse 11, the woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock? Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water in this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. What Jesus is saying is that the water that you drink or the things that you do to satisfy your natural thirst, your physical thirst, your emotional thirst, the things that you drink and eat and consume yourself with will never satisfy you. How many of you, by a show of hands, and if you're watching online or TV, wherever you're at, how many of you, by a show of hands, or if you're in North County, how many of you had a desire to do something, acquire something, achieve something, and you said, if I can acquire, do, achieve, or whatever, that thing, or date that person, I'm going to be happy, and that's going to be it. How many of y'all done that? Okay, very good. And here's the second part of the question. How many of you said, if I can achieve that, acquire that, date that, marry that, blah, 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 and if I could do that, I'm going to be happy, and then you did it, and you still weren't happy. And guess what the devil said? Oh, one more. Oh, my bad. Oh, one more. And you kept doing it. Jesus, that's what Jesus is saying here. You drink that water, you eat that food, you buy that house, you date that girl, you marry that guy, be all good. I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I just want to get married, everything's going to be good. Oh. Oh. Now, I'm very happily married. My wife, I say I love my wife and everything's good with me and my wife, but when you get married, you have a whole other set of issues that you have to grow into. Was I diplomatic on that one? That was good, huh? I got at it. People, they're getting so happy. My son's getting married in March. My son, yeah, he's getting married. He's all happy. His wife's all happy. And I'm happy for the brother. Getting off payroll. He's off payroll already. Got a job. But when people get married, all of a sudden they got to share stuff. They got to serve each other. It's a whole other set of things. Jesus says, that ain't going to satisfy you. Living water. Amen. Living water. Let's keep reading. It says, the woman said, sir, give me this water that I may thirst and not come here anymore. She still don't get it. In other words, there's got to be a perfect woman out there for me. Got to be a perfect man out there for me. I'm talking hypothetically us. I don't need a man. I got a woman. It's got to be a perfect house, a perfect job, a perfect this, a perfect that. You know, if you just give it to me, then I won't worry about it. And then Jesus says, you're not really getting it. And he says, look, go call your husband. The woman said, oh, I don't have a husband. Is what she didn't say was real critical because Jesus said, you're right, you have no husband. You had five husbands. And the one whom you have now is not your husband. So, yeah, you're right, you don't have a husband. The woman said, oh, snap, I perceive you're a prophet. Oh, snap. How did you know that? I mean, could you have Googled that, Jesus? I mean, where'd you get that information? There was no Google. You must be from God. She says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, sent prophet. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place to worship. Where should we worship? In other words, what place should we worship in? Should we worship at that church or that city? Or should we worship in the dark? Should we worship with this kind of music? What are the conditions? Where do we go? Where's God? Many of us have this mentality. We think worship is all these physical things. Now, they are a part of it. They all can influence us. But really, it's about spirit and truth. Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, girlfriend, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus saying, there's going to come a day when y'all are going to realize you don't need to be in that place. You don't need to be in a dark room. You don't need to have a certain style of music. You don't need to be around a lot of people. There's going to be a time when you can just worship in spirit and in truth anywhere under any condition. Where you can worship God in the midst of an argument. Your boss is yelling at you because of something you did. Now, in this particular case, you may be innocent with your boss. Or you're in an argument, someone's accused you of something, and in this particular case, you are innocent. Or something bad happened to you, you're driving down the street, you're at work, you're watching a football game, and there's going to come a time when even all this drama around you is happening. You're walking through the mall, and for all of us guys, if we're in the mall, we are stressed. And you can worship God. There's going to come a day. Now, when I say come a day, I don't mean when we go to heaven. I mean a day in your life, and it's now. If you worship in spirit and truth. So what does that mean? Number one in your notes. Worship must be spirit dependent. Worship must be spirit dependent. God is a spirit. What is a spirit? A spirit is a person. We are human. We are spirits with bodies. But your person, who you are, is not your body. Who you are is your spirit, your soul, your spirit, your personality, your emotions. Our spirits can be grieved. Our spirits can know things. Our spirits can communicate. So when you ask somebody or people say they're spiritual people, that is exactly true. We are all spirits with a physical body. The less body you have doesn't make you any less of a person. The less function of your physical body doesn't make you any less of a person. Your spirit is intact, and your spirit is what God has given you and made in His image. We are all spirits with a body. We are spirits in a human experience. And so when you say you're spiritual, you are actually right. The problem is, are you having a relationship with a good spirit, another spirit, or you having a spiritual relationship with a bad spirit? There are good spirits. The Holy Spirit obviously is a good spirit. Angels are spirits. And then you have bad spirits that will lead you away from God. And so when people say they're spiritual, the danger is, are they having a relationship with bad spirits? Spirits have personalities. Spirits can communicate to you. They can influence you. You can have a relationship with them. So God made us spiritual beings so we can have a relationship with Him, a spiritual being. Worship is a spiritual exercise. Worship is when everything that your spirit is yearns and flows towards God like the Mississippi. If you think of your spirit can do things that your body can't, your spirit has capabilities of worship and prayer and connection to God that your body can't. You cannot touch God with your hand. Now, obviously, God is everywhere. Your spirit can connect to God like your body can't. Your spirit can comprehend God like your body can't. Your spirit through faith can see things that God wants to show you that your body and physical eyes cannot. That's why blind people can see God and see the visions of God just as clearly as you. Deaf people can hear God just as clearly as you. Because it's a spiritual thing. And so when we worship God in spirit and in truth, our spirit needs to flow to God like rivers of living water. Our will, which is part of our spirit, our desire, our fears, our thoughts, our feelings, our aspirations, all need to flow towards God like a fountain of living water up to everlasting life. Just like all the tributaries of the Mississippi, all coming together, flowing to one place. And when you worship God, your spirit, your immaterial, non-physical you is flowing towards God. Every single one of us have in our lungs, our respiratory system, our nose, nasal passages, these little hairs called cilia. Everyone say cilia. It's C-I-L-I-A, cilia. Cilia, these little hairs, and these little hairs move. They do this. They brush. They sweep. All the mucus that's all in your lungs and in your passages, in your nose, all that mucus, and you think like snot is a bad thing. It's only bad when it comes out when you don't want it to, but it's a good thing, really. That all that mucus keeps your body moist and healthy, but as the cilia push it, they're like rivers flowing out. And they're taking all the stuff you breathe in that's waste, and it gets washed out through the mucus. So your body is constantly flowing this mucus like rivers in your body to get it out. That's why when you get sick and you get this little drip in your throat, your nasal passages are cleaning the stuff out, and it's too much. That's why it gets dripped in your throat. But it's always happening day and night. They're constantly sweeping. And if they go all in the same direction, they clean you out and keep you healthy. So I want you to think when you praise God that your spiritual cilia, that you are saying, my desire, go to God. My fears, go to God. My will, go to God. All my thoughts, go to God. Just go to God. And you're saying, Lord, take, and Lord, I want my rivers of living water to flow towards you to everlasting life. And I want to lift my hands. By the way, this is a function of what's happening in your heart. In other words, you can lift your hands and sing words out of your mouth, and your heart is going, I don't know what's going on. You're not worshiping. You're not. You're just singing with your hands up. It'd be like if the police point a gun at you and you put your hands up and say, I didn't do it. I didn't. That's not worship. People, Christians lie, but they also sometimes come to church and sing lies. That's not worship. Worship is when your spirit, the immaterial, non-physical, eternal aspect of who you are, which is who you are, flows up to God like rivers of living water. That's worship. I don't know if you've ever bitten into a celery and you get these little stringy things in your mouth. Anybody else? Those stringy things are called cilia. A xylem. They're called xylem. I'm like, yeah, this guy's making this stuff up. They're called xylem. X-Y-L-E-M, and they're like straws that come from the roots all the way up to the plant, to the leaves on the celery. And by the way, this is in all trees, and they take water from the roots all the way up to every leaf. God got it coordinated. And so when you water a plant, a lot of times you just need to water the ground, and the ground will go through the roots, and nutrients will go up and go to each leaf and water each leaf and get it healthy. And so they're in all plants. If you cut a tree open, and you'll see these stringy things as well. And so the xylem just acts as a conduit for the water nutrients to go to all the leaves. Our arms, our legs, our mouth, our eyes are all xylem. In other words, our spirit, our soul is really who we are. And when God speaks to our soul, when God fills our soul with love and compassion, that is expressed through our arms, it's expressed through your mouth, it's expressed through your eyes, it's expressed through your legs. It's just a conduit. But what's happening in the spirit is really what's going on. So when you worship in spirit and truth, and your heart, your soul is rising up to God like rivers of living water, and everything that you are is rising up to God, and you are surrendering to God, all of a sudden, what happens? Sometimes your arms go up. Sometimes you don't have to do this to worship, by the way. You can worship like this. You can. You can worship with your head down. There's no prescription. Now, if you don't do this because you're scared, that's another issue. But you don't have to do this. But what happens is all this is just a function of what's happening on the inside. Don't be tricked to think that means you're worshiping. You want to focus that this is happening here. And when you worship God in spirit and in truth, by the way, look at number 2 in your notes. Look at number 2 in your notes. It says in truth, it says that all worship needs to be Bible consistent. The truth is that your worship is biblical. In other words, this lady says, aren't we supposed to worship in, we worship in Samaria and you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus says, it's not about a place. In biblical times, God was always thought about through all the different cultures, that their gods were local or over a specific thing. You have the god over the locusts, you have the god over the plants, and god over fertility, and not only were they for a specific purpose, they were worshiped in a specific place. You had to go to a place, the high place, and worship God because you had to worship God in that place. That is not the God of the Bible. One, the God of the Bible is the God of everything, and he's everywhere, so you can worship him wherever you want. You don't have to go to a specific place. You don't have to be in a specific atmosphere. You don't have to be around specific people. Now, does it help to be in certain atmospheres? It may. Fine. Does it help with certain type of music? That's fine. But let those things be a starter. Let those things be a one way or to get you going. But the bottom line is you should be able to be driving down the street and all of a sudden rivers of living water start flowing from your heart. Your spirit says, I want to connect with God, because your spirit yearns for God. Psalm 42:1, as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you. Your soul can magnify God. Your soul desires God. Your soul can do things your physical body cannot. It can connect to God in ways your physical body cannot. It wants to do that. And so you can let that happen anywhere, anytime. Imagine if you can get to where you're walking through the mall and you're just singing to yourself. And you are worshiping God, and you and God got this connection, and people are walking by you. It don't matter where you're at. There is no worship music. It's all in your head. You're sitting and watching TV, and sometimes I'll be sitting in my house, and my family is eating dinner. And sometimes I days off, and I'll start thinking about stuff, and I entertain myself, so I'll sit there and start laughing. And they're there. They're right there. And they'll go, oh, there he goes again. What do you think about now? And then sometimes I'll be sitting in the same kind of environment and rivers of living water will flow. And God will just say to me in his own spiritual way to my spirit, I love you. You're blessed. By the way, I'm not blessed because I have no drama, because I have more drama now than I ever had. I got Godzilla's coming after me. By the way, anybody not know who Godzilla is? Who doesn't know who Godzilla is? Because in the last service, we asked some people, and some people didn't know. Does everybody here know who Godzilla is? Oh, okay, just to make sure. No? Who doesn't know Godzilla? You don't know Godzilla? Okay, you need to Google Godzilla. He's a monster. Oh, she's a monster. I think it's a woman. She's a female. She had a baby. Right? Godzilla had a baby. Yes, she did. I'll be broken if she wasn't a woman. I always thought, she had a baby. But Godzilla, Ghidra, Mothra, you need to Google all those monsters. It's black and white. You could have all these Godzillas coming after you, your world's going apart, and God says, it's okay. Everything that is who you are is flowing up like rivers of living water in spirit and in truth. Be truthful. Not only should your worship be biblical, but be truthful with yourself. Because as you worship, God's going to reveal himself to you. And as he reveals himself to you, you're going to see yourself. And he's going to go, you got some junk in your heart. I know, God. Please purify it. Worship time's over. As you worship, God's going to say, hey, right now, remember yesterday you said this? You lied. You need to go apologize. In worship, be truthful. God says, I want you to confess so-and-so right now. I want you to confess this sin right now in your worship. Oh, God, I'm sorry. That's truth. Be truth. Worship in spirit and truth. You got the Holy Spirit and your spirit flowing together. When the Bible says the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you're praying, there's stuff that you need to be saying that you don't know because your brain ain't there yet. Your spirit is, though. And your spirit is saying, Lord, and when your spirit faces God, and God sees your spirit, oh, stuff happens because reality sets in. The truth is exposed. Let that happen on a spiritual level because your mind won't let it. You'll be justifying, manipulating the truth, and the Spirit says, I can't lie. I can't lie. The Bible says the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. And so when you worship, you're saying, Lord, from the inside, I want rivers from the inside flowing, and I don't want any of my issues to get in the way. How do you improve your worship? Think about it. When you smoke a cigarette, that's not how you improve your worship. Flow with me. When you smoke cigarettes, the tar gets in your lungs and those hairs, those cilia, they get clogged. And they can't do this. If they get clogged, the mucus doesn't move. If the mucus doesn't move, you don't get cleansed out. Now you got junk. That's how you get sick. We have spiritual tar in our heart We got bitterness in our heart. We got envy and jealousy in our heart. We got issues with our wife in our heart, and we can't, it won't flow. It's like we're holding it back because, no, God, I got a problem with you. I got a problem with that person. I got an issue. And God's like, it ain't flowing. And we go to church. It ain't flowing. Here's how you make it flow. A pure heart. Dear God, purify my heart. Listen, it ain't the fact that you got sin. It's the fact that you're not confessing it. Dear God, I got this problem. I got this problem. That's all God wants to hear you say. That's all God wants to hear you say. Men, 1 hour of prayer. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand, but let me preface it by saying this. I'm going to ask you all to stand at the same time because I don't want you worrying about who else is standing. If you don't stand right away, don't stand up. Don't be like, oh, yeah, all the guys. Okay, let me do it. This is part of, you know, when men are stronger than guys. This is part of that. So here's the deal. I don't care if you, over the last 2 weeks, you've been praying for an hour, you stop, whatever. That's all past. You had a little warm-up time. But this is the time to say, you know what? I want to take the challenge, and I want to pray for an hour a day. Now, how often? For the whole year. Because, and we can say 21 days, you know, after 21 days, you form a habit. So, well, however you want to do it, but every day. Every day. Well, I'm busy. You ain't busy to me. I guarantee you. You may be really busy, so am I. Really busy. This is the best remedy to busyness. 1 hour. So, in 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you don't stand up right away, don't stand up. Okay? Ladies, don't worry about it. You'll be blessed if men pray. Okay? All ladies, say hey. And again, ladies, doesn't mean you can't pray. Doesn't mean I'm not asking you to pray, but just don't get caught up in this all man thing. So right now, men, on three. One, two, three. Let's get up if y'all want to pray. There we go. Here we go. Amen. Stay standing. North County, stand up. North County, stand up. North County, stand up. So here's the deal. Amen. If... Let me say to all the guys who are sitting down, thank you for being honest. Do it when you're ready and when you're committed, but don't cheat yourself. God wants to bless you. To all you guys standing up, if you do this, I want you to write down what God does in your life and pay attention. He wants you to see that this will work. God is going to do stuff in your life that's beyond what you can ask or imagine in your heart, in your life, in your career, in every area of your life, he will do stuff on his timing. It won't always be necessarily what you think you want. He will change what you want. You may get fired from your job tomorrow. Like, man, I didn't pray for now. I got fired from my job. What's up with that? And you know what's going to happen? Right before you curse God, you're going to go, oh, wait a minute. I got a better opportunity. I see that. Your girl may leave you. He got a better girl. So my challenge to you is do it and pay close attention to what happens. Because if you just do it and God doesn't do anything, I'm going to say this really clear. If you do it and God doesn't do anything, God's a liar. And we're wasting our time. If this is not better than not doing it, God's a liar. God ain't a liar. Lord, I pray for all these men. I pray supernaturally that you would change their life. I pray supernaturally you would change the community, their families, this church. And I pray supernaturally that their hour, that they start today, will rock their world. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat and let's give a hand.